the Earth spins in space, illuminated from behind by shafts of white light. In white capital letters, the word Universal wraps around it. A crescent moon hangs amongst clouds in the night sky. The figure of a small boy sits in the moon and fishes in the lake below. The crescent moon becomes the letter D, and the word DreamWorks appears in bold white letters amongst the clouds. In the dark, a man in grey baggy tracksuit bottoms cycles quickly through the suburbs of Los Angeles. A pickup truck appears over the brow of a hill. A man sits in the back of the truck throwing tied-up copies of the Los Angeles Times into the front gardens of homes he passes. One of the newspaper articles reads, "Life Has a Mind of Its Own" by Steve Lopez. Newspapers roll off the LA Times printing press. B Sky B presents The Soloist, starring Robert Downey Jr. as Steve Lopez and Jamie Foxx as Nathaniel Anthony Ayers. Back in the truck, the man continues to fling bundles of newspapers into front gardens. Pulling the hood of his blue sweatshirt over his short salt and pepper hair, Steve Lopez cycles along in the darkness. In the early morning sunshine, Steve Lopez cycles up a hill, passing a flurry of cyclists travelling in the opposite direction. As he reaches the top, he removes his hood to reveal his stubbly, sweating face. Down below him, the skyscrapers of LA glisten in the light. A construction worker jumps down from his large truck. Lopez speeds down the hill on his bike.
Buenos dias, muchachos.
Points West by Steve Lopez. A construction foreman in Griffith Park heard the crash. He saw a cyclist cartwheel off his bike and slam face first into the unforgiving asphalt of Riverside Drive.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As we begin our descent into Los Angeles, we ask that you please be sure that your seatbelt is fastened and that you return your
seatbelt. A 911 call brought out the troops from Fire Station 76.
What happened?
You had an accident. Do you know what happened?
Oh, shit, I had an accident. What?
I don't remember any of this, nor do I recall the cause of this, Bill.
Sat up in his bed, observing the mayhem, Lopez scribbles on a scrap of paper. One side of his face is badly grazed.
County USD was the closest emergency room, and I quickly realized that if you find yourself there with nothing more than a bonk on the head...
He looks at the patient being examined in the bed next to him, and then carries on writing.
You are one lucky Angelino.
Lopez is slowly placed into a scanning machine.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Ready.
Colored images of the inside of his head appear on a computer screen.
I'm not entirely comfortable with this.
Wearing a neck brace, Lopez gets out of a yellow cab and pulls his mangled bike out of the boot before chucking it away.
Thank you.
You have no new messages. You have no new messages.
With one hand and one finger in a splint, Lopez struggles to take off his jogging bottoms before climbing into bed.
Doctors told me to expect up to 4 weeks of disorientation. I'm not asking for sympathy, I just want you to know. I'm not asking for sympathy, I just want you to understand what's going on if I start... writing about what a bang-up job Governor Schwarzenegger's doing.
S-C-H-W-A-R-Z.
Scratch that. It's passé. Lacks context.
He puts his dictaphone down on the bedside table and turns off the light.
Ouch.
A disheveled Lopez wanders through the bustling newsroom of the Los Angeles Times. His face is still red and bruised and one eye is barely open.
Right, so the question is, hey, dummy, theoretically, could I, seeing as how the governor has retired his position at the Muscle Magazine, could I interview
him?
Right. And will my non-Teutonic lineage be an issue? See, no, it gets to be funny. It's just an article. Do I need to have been on steroids for a long time to even apply?
Gail, I'd like the attention must be paid reference. I might move it down a paragraph, though. Thanks. I'm getting you a new desk.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Lopez sits down at his disorganized desk.
Hey, guys, check it out. I got a study here that says the number of Americans under 35 who read a newspaper is now down to 40%.
40?
40.
And the group we're losing mostly are college-educated women.
Pull my finger. Jesus Christ.
Hey, honey. Welcome back, Steve. That would have been next.
Thank you. You know, when Lopez and I started out together,
we had to walk 20 miles to school.
People cared about what went
on
in the world. Am I right, Steve? I mean, right.
When people
cared. We're at war, and the only thing that sells papers is a Lindsay Lohan coup shot.
Jesus, did someone actually run that in print? I thought that was just on the web.
All right. All I am saying is if you run an excellent, if I do say so myself, front page piece about how corporate America is profiting from this war, and the only reader response you get is on two hands.
That was a good piece, by the way. I read
that. You read it? Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't read it, but I loved it, Kurt.
Meanwhile, Lopez here scrapes his forehead and gets what? Oh, I'm guessing that 75 emails from readers worried about his safety. I'm sorry. There is something very wrong in this world.
Newsflash. Something wrong with the world.
Yeah, your face hurts my feelings, Steve.
That's harassment. Mary?
An environmental group studying chemical contaminants in people's bodies.
No.
Just give some blood and write about it. I think it would be a good idea for you.
I'm glad you feel that way. I just did that.
What do you think?
The thought in my mind is no thank you.
It was funny. People love it when you bleed. Readers.
Ooh, busted. What is that? What do you call that, what you just did? Freud. Freud. Thank you. No.
Sorry about the face.
I hate needles.
So use it.
Lopez sits outside in the plaza. He slowly turns around and scans the sun-bathed plaza for the source of the music. A homeless man wearing a yellow cap with Stevie Wonder handwritten across the front of it sits playing a two-stringed violin by the base of a bronze statue of Beethoven. Beside him is a shopping cart full of his eclectic mix of worldly possessions. Lopez stands watching him.
Stevie Wonder fan?
Oh, my Cherie Morris, since time in my life.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
But you really shouldn't write on a violin like that because you have to treat a violin like a child. You have to protect it.
You only got two strings.
All I want to do is play music, and here's a problem that I'm having right here. This one's gone, this one's gone, this little one's out of commission. But you get that in Cleveland Public Schools. A lot of military statues in Cleveland. Very military.
Is that where you're from?
In the city. You're not going to get musicians on parade there. You got Servants Hall there. You have the music settlement. Ohio State University, whereas in Los Angeles you have Los Angeles PD, you have LA Times, you have Los Angeles Lakers. Those are armies too. Military regimentation, experimentation, Roman Gabriel, Roman Catholicism, Colonel Sanders. But this guy right here is the quarterback of the orchestra. Now the cello can back this guy with the same moves, but the cello can't be concert master. No. He leads out. This is just Doc Perlman, Joshua Heifetz. You can't play music in the winter in Cleveland because of the ice and the snow. That's why I prefer Los Angeles to Beethoven City, because it never rains in Southern California. And if it does, all I have to do is just go in the tunnel and I can play to my heart's content. I'm flabbergasted about the statue. Aren't you flabbergasted about this?
Anyway, nice to meet you.
You have any idea how it got here?
Nah.
Maybe they dropped it off late at night. It's just astonishing to sit here for hours and just gaze at it. It just blows me away.
No idea.
It really blows me away that someone as great as Beethoven is the leader of Los Angeles.
The man stares at the statue in awe.
Yeah. I'm Steve Lopez, LA Times.
Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z?
Yeah.
Lopez. Los Angeles Times, Mr. Lopez.
What's your name?
Lopez. Nathaniel Anthony Ayers Jr., N-A-T-H-A-N-I-E-L-A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-A-Y-E-R-S-J-U-N-I-O-R. Or J-R, period.
Lopez smiles and holds out his hand. Nathaniel clutches his violin.
I apologize for my appearance. I've had a few setbacks.
Me too.
He points at his grazed face. Nathaniel turns to leave. Lopez points at three names chalked on the trunk of a tree.
Who are Nancy, Paul, and Craig?
Those are my classmates at Juilliard.
Back in the newsroom.
Good afternoon, Juilliard School.
Registrar's office, please.
Mary, the paper's editor with long reddish brown hair, wanders over to Lopez and pulls up a chair.
What's up?
It's highly classified, I can't tell you.
How many?
More than we can afford to lose. Evidently it goes like this. Stock price sinks, we lose reporters. Stock price sinks more, we lose more reporters.
All right, we'll produce more with less. Hi, this is Steve Lopez from the LA Times. I'm calling to inquire as to whether Nathaniel Anthony Ayers attended your school, A-Y-E-R-S. I'm sorry.
Oh, freaking child law.
She hands him a bottle of pills. He opens them and hands them back to her.
How is our son, by the way?
Oh, he's good. He likes his classes. He likes his pre-gay roommate. You should call him.
I call him.
It's a lie.
I call him. He doesn't call me back.
He calls me back.
Mary?
Just try again.
Yes, Mary. Yes,
yes,
Mary.
Yes, Steve.
I gotta take this call.
Great.
Because I don't have a story. Well?
Call him.
I'm sorry we have no record of Nathaniel Anthony Ayers ever attending Juilliard.
Really? But then I don't have a story. Thanks for checking. I'm not doing the blood thing. I got too many other good ideas.
Sat in a lab.
My dad is gonna freak when he finds out I met you. He loves your column.
What about you?
Well, I don't really read the newspaper.
Sure.
When I do.
She gets 2 dozen specimen tubes.
Hey! Those aren't all for me, are they?
I'm also gonna need a clump of hair and some urine.
That's easy.
All right.
Okay.
Make a fist for me.
He stands in the toilet holding a specimen pot in his teeth. He drops the pot of pee.
Lopez?
Mr. Lopez?
Yeah, I'm can you hold on 1 second? I'm having a little technical difficulty here.
This is Rosie Delgado from the Juilliard School. Oh, Mr. Lopez?
Yes, please continue.
After we spoke yesterday, I realized I only checked our graduates. So I looked in our matriculates, and there he was. Nathaniel Anthony Ayers enrolled in 1970, and he dropped out toward the end of his second year.
Thank you. Points West by Steve Lopez. Nathaniel was shy in our first encounter. He stepped back. He backed away. He, Nathaniel is, that's what, Nathaniel is, it's a great column. That's what Nathaniel is. Nathaniel is missing.
Lopez runs up the steps to his front lawn, which is above street level. As he appears at eye level with the grass, he notices mounds of earth dug up all over his garden.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Raccoons!
Oh, yeah?
That's the culprit.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? They eat the grass?
No, they eat the worms in the grass.
They eat the worms in the grass.
Yeah, we had them. It's a god-awful mess. Want to know how I got rid of them?
Yes.
Coyote urine.
Wow. Coyote urine.
Seriously, in powdered form.
Remarkable.
It's a whole industry, you know.
Funny.
Hey, I'm Neil, by the way.
Okay.
Silver hair, ragged shirt, and baggy pants.
Sat in his dimly lit house, Lopez coolly lights a cigarette. He savors each pull and breathes the smoke through his nostrils, sending clouds billowing into the dark air. He taps his splintered finger in time to the music.
Very lightly touched down.
Struggling to hold a bottle of red wine in his injured hand, he manages to pour himself a large glass and takes a sip.
Down and out. You look to me to be the eyes of age.
As his body begins to absorb the music and the wine, he stands in front of dozens of unpacked boxes of belongings and gently sways from side to side in time to the music.
Talk of life. He laughs, slaps his leg a step.
With his head resting on the back of the sofa, he sits pondering to himself. a sweeping aerial view of the busy highways of L.A.
Euphoria. If you're experienced,
I would spend every night tossing and turning.
Wow.
And what is the method of application? Should I sprinkle it in the yard?
First, you want to dilute the urine powder in water.
But I want to?
Well, all right, maybe I should say have to. And then you're going to have to hang the liquid from trees in plastic bags.
So people are doing this all over Southern California, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Last month, I sold some to Paula Abdul.
But no Simon Cowell? Because that'd be exciting. Figure. I'm gonna call you back.
Keeping his eyes fixed on Nathaniel in his rearview mirror, Lopez gets out of his car in the busy tunnel. Nathaniel, dressed in an eclectic mix of mismatched clothes, stands next to his shopping cart. He plays oblivious to Lopez approaching.
Hey! Hey, Nathaniel! Remember me? Sorry.
Nathaniel turns his back on him.
Maybe have a minute when you're done. Let me know.
Nathaniel's gaze remains fixed, his brow furrowed in concentration. Lopez ambles away and leans up against a metal grill. He fidgets impatiently. Frustrated, Lopez pretends to conduct the music.
I just saw you, so Nothing.
Lopez flashes a false, arrogant smile.
Mr. Steve Lopez, Los Angeles Times, Los Angeles, California.
I've
been searching for Mr. Beethoven, but he's slipping away like a dream. I'm trying to get back into shape, but I don't have any sheet music. Beethoven String Quartet, Opus 59, number 1, Violin Concerto, Opus 61, and D, Fifth Concerto, Opus 73, and E-flat, red car, green car, there goes a police car. And God is right on the other side of that wall. I had to dig a hole to bury some human defecation, but they didn't have the human decency to use a proper facility. Well, it's beautiful here because you can play music and have pigeons clapping as they take off. And right there's the Los Angeles Times building. That's Mr. Steve Lopez, staff writer, New York, Cleveland, doesn't matter. All I have to do is look up that building. I know exactly where I am. I'm in Los Angeles, California, Los Angeles.
Writing about you,
Magic Johnson Theaters. Magic Johnson is a basketball player. He's also a big black man.
What if I were to want to write a story about you for the newspaper?
Los Angeles Times, Los Angeles newspaper, staff writer, Mr. Steve Lopez.
Yeah, that's me. And do you mind if I report this? And I want to write a story about you. How a guy like you winds
Mr.
up on the street.
Lopez
what do you
needs
think
to do
of that?
What Mr. Lopez needs to do. No one could ever stop Mr. Lopez from doing what he wants to do. Are you flying that plane?
No. No, I'm right here.
I don't know how that works.
I called Juilliard and they said you went there, but you didn't finish.
I bombed right out of there. I bombed out of Juilliard.
Yeah, what happened?
It didn't happen. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Anyone I could contact? Family?
Family, Miss Fleury airs my mom. She's a beautician. Beauty is art. Music is beauty. I don't do hair. I do my own hair, but my mom does. Everybody's there in the community. They would come for her. She's quite a woman, you know. But I don't know how you're going to talk to her, though, because she passed.
Okay. Sorry to hear that. Who could I call?
216-962-6700.
Who's your name?
You know, it's a dream out here, Mr. Lopez. Yeah. The sun is shining, the nights are cool and serene, and I notice that everyone is smiling.
In the newsroom.
Americans are asking.
Hi, I'm calling for Jennifer Earsmore.
How will we find you in this war?
Hi, this is Steve Lopez from the LA Times. I spoke with your aunt, I believe, earlier. She suggested I give you a call.
About what?
About your brother Nathaniel.
She stopped still in shock.
Is he dead?
What? Oh, no. He's alive.
Is he all right?
He's homeless. I don't know if you're aware of that. But he seems very bright, and may I record this? And talented, obviously.
Juilliard.
I'm sorry. Your name again, please.
Steve Lopez.
Mr. Lopez, why are you calling?
I'm gonna write a column about Nathaniel.
Why?
Because that's what I do.
Everyone has a story, and it's interesting, you know, that a Juilliard alum is now homeless and,
But he seems smart and kind and he spends his days filling the city air with violin music.
And I just
He plays the violin now.
He's a... What? Yeah. Why, he used to play something else?
A flashback.
Bye, Mama!
A young Nathaniel walks out into the snow, carrying a cello case. He passes underneath a sign on the side of his house for Floria's beauty salon.
Good morning, Nathaniel. Good
morning, Miss Lilja.
He smiles as he passes her. In the school music room...
So what do you want to play for me?
Oh, I'm going to play some Beethoven, sir. I'm crazy about Beethoven. He was younger than me when he started playing piano, and I wanted to play the piano, but so many kids played it, and there's only one at school, so it's hard to get practice time in. So I chose the cello. Hardly anyone at school wanted to play the cello. And Beethoven was composing when he was only 11, and I'm already older than that, so I figure I got a lot of catching up to do.
Let's hear you play it.
Nathaniel eagerly pulls the music stand in front of him and sits down with his cello between his legs. He takes a deep breath and draws the bow.
He had the talent, that's for sure. I called his mother that night. I told her that I thought he was the most gifted kid I've ever met. I said that if he made a full commitment to music, if he really, really gave it all he had, the whole world would open up to him. And he did. He really did.
In his mother's beauty parlor... Whilst his mother is kept busy upstairs in the bustling beauty parlour, Nathaniel sits in a room below playing the cello bare-chested. He focuses intensely on the sheet music in front of him. He raises his eyes to the ceiling and sighs.
Before long it got so that was all he did. No more football, no more baseball, just music. Day in, day out. The whole world was changing around him. And that was all he did. Music.
Nathaniel looks up from his music and gently places his cello down. Dragging his chair behind him, he slowly wanders across the dimly lit basement room to a small window. Taking the time to remove his sandals, he clambers onto the chair placed underneath and peers out of the window into the street. A car engulfed in flames drives through the town in the darkness. He jumps down and sits back in his chair, his eyes flickering with fear. After composing himself for a few moments, he picks up his cello. Large flames outside the basement window flicker as he thrusts his bow back and forth across the strings with pain etched across his face. As he vigorously plays, his dark skin is illuminated by the orange flames. Exhausted, he rests his head on the neck of the cello. Wearing a silk dressing gown, his mother heads down into the basement with a concerned look on her face. Nathaniel lies awake in bed.
Hey, you awake?
He closes his eyes. She wanders across his bedroom, passing a papier-mâché mobile of the solar system, and she sits down on the edge of his bed. She watches adoringly as he pretends to be asleep. She takes his hand in hers and tenderly strokes it. She notices something on Nathaniel's arm and pushes up the sleeve of his pajama top to take a closer look. Then she looks back at him sleeping and smiles.
You know what I hear when you play your music? I hear the voice of God coming. I'm serious.
He looks up into her eyes.
You got something special here, baby. A way out. There is a whole world waiting for you.
She leans down and gently kisses him on the forehead before going upstairs. Nathaniel pushes up the sleeve of his pajama top to reveal four vertical lines drawn in pen on his arm. He cracks his knuckles and then practices his fingering on the pretend strings.
Points West by Steve Lopez. Nathaniel was shy in our first encounter, period. He took a step back when I approached to say I liked the way his violin music drowned out the jackhammers on Grand Street, period. Nathaniel's first instrument was the cello. Strangely, he has never had any training on the violin. He has never had any training on the violin. He switched to the latter after winding up on the streets. One day I asked him about his hopes and dreams. That's easy, he said. I'd like to get these other two strings.
A cello in a mail trolley is wheeled through the busy newsroom.
Dear Mr. Lopez, this morning I read your article about the street musician and was deeply moved. This cello is one I used for 50 years until arthritis got the better of me. Please pass it along to Mr. Ayers with my prayers for his health and safety.
Lopez speeds through the tunnel where he last saw Nathaniel playing. Deep in thought, he doesn't see him step out.
Nathaniel!
All I'm trying to do is work as hard as I can to clean up the tunnel, but they don't want me to help them. I won't have this, and all you do, I won't have this
decoration
because they just won't respect it. And I try to tell every one of them, I won't have this next one.
He spots a cigarette in the road. Dodging the cars, Nathaniel picks up the cigarette butt and holds it aloft.
I'm not gonna have this nastiness in this tunnel, this degradation.
Lopez gets the cello from the car boot.
Remember when I said I was gonna write about you? Well, I did. People heard that you were just playing with two strings. Some of them thought you might want something better to work with.
No. I can't cover that.
You don't have to pay for it. It's
sure it's a very beautiful instrument.
Free and clear.
People are very, very generous.
But look, here's the deal. It's not safe for you to have something this valuable on the street, so you gotta...
I'm gonna have to worry about that, Mr. Lopez. I've been mugged 14 times. I will fight to the death to protect this instrument.
Right, that's my point exactly. So apparently there's a place that's a couple blocks down. It's called Lamp.
And I... Hold on. I can't go. No, I can't go there. They smoke cigarettes.
I talked to the guy. He said you can keep it there.
They do it to torment me.
No.
They do it to torment me.
That's the deal. You want to play this, you got to do it there.
I can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Nathaniel bites his bottom lip nervously. Lopez's face softens.
Except for this one time. Take it out and give it a test drive or whatever.
So I can play it here.
For a couple minutes, and then we're going to bring it to Lamp.
Nathaniel looks at the case. Lopez backs away from it and tries to avert his gaze. Nathaniel suddenly lurches forward and opens the case and looks in wonderment at the instrument. He strokes the wood tenderly, picks it up in his arms, and then runs his eyes over the bodywork.
Laying in there like a pig in the blanket. Only the greats, really. Really, only the greats. Yo-Yo Ma, Jacqueline Dupre. The coolest cucumber of them all. See, I'm a stalker. Got the rosin on your bow. It's just like feeding a parakeet. Bow needs rosin just like blues for these prisoners.
Lopez rolls his eyes impatiently. Nathaniel sits down on a cardboard box with the cello between his legs. He places his fingers on the strings and lifts the bow. A sensuous tranquility descends over Nathaniel. Lopez crouches down on the floor and watches Nathaniel. Lopez closes his eyes and rests his head on his hand. With his eyes closed, Nathaniel savors every note. The cars rush past them in the tunnel. Lopez listens with his head in his hands as Nathaniel, dressed in tattered, filthy clothes and a sparkling sequin top, plays in front of him. Nathaniel starts to smile. A small flock of pigeons fly through the sun-drenched city, swooping past buildings glistening in the sunlight. In the tunnel, Lopez listens, calmed by the music. Exhilarated, Nathaniel glides the bow across the strings and nimbly runs his fingers over the fingerboard. Lopez smiles contentedly. Pigeons soar high into the blue cloud-dotted sky. As the music stops, Lopez opens his eyes. Lopez smiles with delight as Nathaniel lovingly caresses the strings with his fingers and bow. He holds the cello tightly. Lopez's eyes well with tears, but he quickly composes himself.
So, pack it up, I'll bring it to Lamp, you can get back at it.
I haven't really gotten a chance to know her yet, so I would...
I'm not saying you can't play, you can, just not here.
This is a perfect music environment for playing music.
This? No.
Yes.
This is a sidewalk, okay? That's the deal.
No, you'll break the bridge, you'll pour water in it, you'll drown her.
That's what I'll do?
It'll be ruined.
I won't
play
right here
because Mr. Lopez...
I'm not going to see you get killed over this.
You know what you do? Let me put it away myself.
Then put it away. Thank you.
Nathaniel carefully puts it in the case.
Because when you start a relationship with somebody...
Don't make a big deal of it, okay?
It is a big deal.
In minutes, you'll have it set up down at Lamp. You'll be playing like you never stopped.
Okay, right? I need this relationship. I don't want this relationship.
Do you know where it is?
Don't
just leave that there. I'll drive it.
No, I can't do that. I have my cart right there.
You're
going to get it right in my
cart. You're going to let go.
You know?
Just let your fingers go.
Does anyone see what he's doing right here? He's stealing it.
I'll meet you there. San Julian at 6th. Right? I'll drive you walk. See you in a half hour?
Nathaniel becomes nervous and agitated as Lopez drives away. He drives through a busy Los Angeles slum. Homeless men and women start to gravitate towards the car.
Huh? Good.
Outside the car, a fight breaks out. Lopez stares at the vast number of homeless people.
Jesus. Fine.
Get it,
oh, boy.
He stops outside a big concrete gate with the word Lamp Community imprinted in it. He looks around cautiously as he pulls the cello out. He locks the car. A large black guy starts to walk towards him threateningly.
One time!
Lopez quickly moves out of the way. Other Skid Row residents loiter by the gates of Lamp. They show signs of varying degrees of mental illness. Lopez peers through the gate.
Say, hey, is David here? I'm here for David.
Who?
David?
David, I can go get him.
Thanks.
He waits awkwardly. He nods to a man lingering near him.
Hey.
Looking like a rabbit caught in the headlights, he looks around at the mix of vagrants surrounding him. David, a young black guy with a shaved head and a dark, trim beard, appears the other side of the gate.
Hi. Hi. You a volunteer?
Steve Lopez, Los Angeles Times.
Don't be scared. Come in.
Thanks.
Every staff has a key. So if he does come by and I'm not here, then anybody can get it from him.
Or he'll be here.
Okay.
He said he was coming.
Can you sign in for me?
Sure.
Thanks.
Afternoon.
All right. I'm just tired. It's like they can't find the medication that's right for me, you know? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
When they put me on lithium, it was like a portion of my brain was fully functional. You know what I mean? Because it's like when I take the lithium and everything, it totally eliminates the voices in my mind when they first start rising up, you know, and it stops them right there. I don't like that because then it just stops them. Because, see, sometimes those voices comfort me. And when they comfort me, if they give me all this lithium, then I no longer have the voices to comfort me. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you feel what I'm saying to you? May it's been a waste, you know you...
Lopez wanders outside and approaches a thin, wiry man sat on the step.
Yeah, mind if I sit here?
Not at all.
Steve.
I'm Steve, too.
Oh, boy. You're at the right spot.
Yeah, you did.
He looks around at the other down-and-out sat in the front yard.
So are you a new Lamp staff?
No, I'm just waiting for somebody.
Okay.
Lopez sits with a young guy and an old woman recording them on his dictaphone.
I just try to keep Leanne happy.
He is a bright spot in my life. We value the same things. And we're comfortable together.
Well, thank you, Leanne. That's so nice to hear you say that.
I call him Piggy Boy and stuff like that, but I shouldn't because he's in a bad shape. We thought his problem was cocaine, but it was pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
KK's French, Egyptian, and African-American, and I am a quarter French. I know about disease. I know how to treat it. Now I understand people. I can help so many people fast, and I can comfort them. They've got Italian nurses 6'4" in the county hospital, and one of them talked to me like I was trash. Now, this is probably that the hour of power that the Bible speaks of, somebody speaks a harsh language, will have with the computer, and the computer is probably the beast.
Yep.
My aunt ended up 16 shock treatments because she didn't want to go to bed with her sixth grade husband. He was paying call girls $100 a piece, going to bed with them and coming home and giving my aunt all kinds of disease. I got sick. I was working over there, and I got sicker than a dog one day. I got an infection in my esophagus. The neighbor's dog was sick one day, and the only thing I had on hand was a packet of tetracycline for my chickens. So they were too busy to treat her at the moment. They'd already given her.
In the early evening light, a white neon sign flickers across the top of the Midnight Mission building in Skid Row. It reads, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life."
Points West. By Steve Lopez. I put Nathaniel's new instruments in safekeeping and waited. 15 minutes. 30 minutes, an hour. Too long, in fact. Because guess what, Schmuck? You got a deadline tomorrow. And the story of a guy not showing up is not a story. Nathaniel.
At home in his garden, Lopez stands in the dark, carefully pouring coyote urine into a clear plastic bag. The contents drip down his arm as he ties the bag up. Struggling to hang the bag from a tree, he punctures the plastic and urine spurts out, drenching him.
Ah!
the sunshine, Lopez interviews a man picking up litter by a highway.
So you guys are basically united by non-belief.
That's right.
Yeah. So do you non-gather and non-worship?
We tried, but,
not a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Now we have a website.
Swell. Anything else you don't believe in?
Sorry. Yeah, actually,
Sorry. Lopez?
Can you hear this?
Sorry, can't hear you.
I said, can you hear this?
At LAMP, Nathaniel sits playing in the front yard.
This family thinks we can have a conversation of a step.
Lopez looks around open-mouthed as the other homeless visitors to LAMP sit calmly watching Nathaniel play. Amongst the audience sits the woman who battles with voices in her head. She sits peacefully with her eyes closed, swaying gently to the music. Lopez smiles softly as he watches Nathaniel play. In a flashback, Nathaniel, now a smartly dressed young man, excitedly walks down a corridor carrying a small suitcase and his cello. He walks into a small room and looks out of the window at New York City below him.
This is my apartment. The day you hit the air stream, N-A-T-H-A.
A large orchestra of young men and women play in a vast concert hall. Nathaniel sits amongst the other cellists at the front. He tries to control his smiles of delight as he focuses intensely on the score in front of him. In the break time, Nathaniel sits in the auditorium surrounded by other students. Suddenly, Nathaniel is sitting alone in the empty auditorium.
Nathaniel.
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 Nathaniel Ayers.
On the phone.
Honestly, it's just that, thank you. It's just that I'm not always so sure I know what's going on, and, it's so frightening, and, I'm having trouble differentiating certain things. I can't get things separated.
Back in rehearsals, the conductor glares at Nathaniel.
That's where your pain is stored. Paint your chest yellow. Protect you from the pain. I'll protect you from their eyes and ears.
Nathaniel, are you finding this piece to be beyond your abilities?
They're listening to you, Nathaniel. They can hear your thoughts, Nathaniel. I can hear your thoughts, Nathaniel.
Well, then I suggest you do better.
They can hear your thoughts, Nathaniel.
Our 107th, ladies and gentlemen.
His eyes wide with fear and panic, he rushes out, clutching his cello.
You should have dug a hole. Whiteness.
Visibly shaken, he hides behind a door in the dark. In the front yard of LAMP, an elderly homeless woman with a weathered face and long, scraggy hair sits engrossed by Nathaniel's playing. Immersed in his music, Nathaniel smiles to himself.
You can't give me nothing. I want my album. Yeah, what?
Detroit?
What you want?
Anger Management.
Yeah, what? That doesn't look like anger management to you.
Yeah, man, I'll take him any day. He quiets everybody down.
What does he have? Schizophrenia?
I don't know.
Well, we should hook him up with psychiatric services and find out, right?
Yeah, I don't get too hung up on diagnosis.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
But how do you help somebody if you don't know what they have?
Look at these people. Every one of them has been diagnosed more than you can imagine. And as far as I can tell, it hasn't done them any good.
But he needs medication.
One more. Right? I'll tell you one thing he doesn't need. One more person telling him he needs medication.
Lopez walks out into the front yard.
Son of a bitch. Where'd he go?
Who?
Nathaniel.
Don't ask me, dude.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome, Steve.
Lopez wanders out into Skid Row and makes his way through the chaos past homeless men and women aimlessly milling about. He saunters through the mass of destitute and desolate rough sleepers towards his car. He briefly looks around at the squalor surrounding him. He goes to release the handbrake and stops. He stares out at the litter-strewn streets and the groups of down and outs stood together in the darkness. From the comfort of his car, he watches a scantily dressed prostitute stagger across the road and offer herself to a group of men. He stares fixedly out into the bustling slums of Skid Row. Suddenly, he grabs his Trilby hat and gets out. Lopez makes his way past makeshift cardboard box shelters which litter the side of the road. 5-0, 5-0. Keeping his head down, he passes people brawling in the gutter and groups of men and women smoking homemade crack pipes. A gang of black men with hoods over their faces gather around Lopez and glare intimidatingly at him. He removes his hat and looks to the floor as he passes them. A red flashing light cuts through the darkness. Lopez edges into a crowd of onlookers. A medic searches for the pulse of a young black woman lying on the road, covered in needle marks and seeping wounds. Nathaniel appears over Lopez's shoulder.
I went over to the library and thought I might pick up some sheet music, Sonata number 1, F major, opus 5, Sonata number 2, A major, opus 69, string quartet. What happened? Somebody got beat up?
Overdose, I think.
The other night, there was a beating over here, and someone got bones rearranged in their face, and it was just crazy. I don't understand why anybody would do something like that.
This where you sleep?
I used to sleep on Wall Street, but it's too dirty.
Nathaniel hands his brush to Lopez and grabs a piece of foam and a neatly folded plastic sheet from his overflowing shopping cart. He unfolds the sheet and lays it in the doorway.
You know, Mr. Lopez, my vision. I hate to admit it, but I'm gonna have to be like Beethoven. Just do what he did and just die. Thank you, Mr. Lopez. My vision is not far off stuff, just basically getting across the street safely. Honor that father and mother, and then hopefully the music will take care of itself.
Lopez spots a rat.
That's really all you can do. I mean, when you think about it, there's not much that you could do other than that. Would you care for a drink?
I'm fine. Thanks.
He hands him a can of drink.
Gotta tuck this guy in here. Nice, safe. Put that down there. Make sure this one. You can rest on this.
Nathaniel and Lopez sit in the doorway next to each other.
Do you think of writers often, Mr. Lopez? Do you think of writers the way I think about musicians?
I
for a living, and it's not like it used to be.
I love thinking about musicians. I imagine Beethoven and Mozart in the window where the light is, and they just hunger and they thirst like we do. It's angelic. I believe these children of God are going to be okay tonight. They're going to sleep and dream as humans do.
The city lights flicker in the darkness, illuminating the squalor around them. Lopez stares forlornly at the tattered streets of Skid Row. He watches a couple brawl violently on the tarmac, a man scavenging through rubbish bins, and an agitated loner talking to himself. Homeless men and women queue for food distributed off the back of a truck.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
I knew only part of his story. I knew him playing the violin on a dairy crate in the morning sun, suspended somewhere between boy genius and lost traveler. Every night, my friend Nathaniel tucks his instruments away and lays his head among the predators and hustlers, among fallen drunks sprawled in the streets, as rats the size of meatloaves dart out of the drains to feed off the squalor.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever.
I tell him this is no place for him. He says he wants to be here. He says this is his choice. Should I take him at his word, or should I try to force him inside? Wouldn't a little arm twisting be more humane than leaving him here on the streets in this lost colony of broken, helpless souls?
I hope you sleep well, Mr. Lopez. I hope the whole world sleeps well.
A newspaper column reads, "A Twilight Concerto for Rats and Cello by Steve Lopez." Nathaniel sits in the sun by the statue of Beethoven. He wears a black woolen ski mask, which covers his entire face.
Adamcrane, he wants to meet you.
Who?
The guy from the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Adam Crane. Wondering if you want to come to your concert at Disney Hall sometime as his guest. We're doing Beethoven.
Ludwig van?
Beethoven. All season long. They got one coming up the 3rd.
Well, what's it today?
No, 3rd Symphony.
I'll cause a scene. I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to stick out or anything like that. So it's just, it's impossible. It can't happen.
What if I could get us in for a rehearsal?
Nathaniel's eyes light up. In Lamp's shower room, Nathaniel colours his tightly curled black scraggy hair with shoe polish. He looks disappointedly at his reflection.
Nathaniel, let's go! Come on, lock up the curtain. Come on, we gotta go.
We have an entire orchestra waiting for us. We are gonna go.
And we're supposed to be here, and they will steal all of what I have.
No one is going to steal your shit. Nathaniel, it's garbage. No one's gonna steal this garbage in the tournament.
No, Mr. Lopez, I'm not gonna be able to make it up there. Okay. Fantasia, Walt Disney Hall.
Okay, you don't want to go, don't go. Stay here.
I have to deal with things here because I wouldn't leave a dog with these people here.
Right, okay.
A cockroach does not tell a greyhound what to
do. Fine! Do you understand? It's fine. I do not give a smooth fart if we go or not. Do you understand? There are a million other things I could be doing right now. Obligations, things that people pay me to do. I have to do. I'm a professional person.
David and the other members of LAMP stare disapprovingly at Lopez as he aggressively pulls off his hat in frustration.
Sorry.
All right.
What?
still not gonna leave my card here.
Okay. Pick a side.
The company is offering you a very generous exit package.
Yeah.
I understand how difficult this is.
All right.
Unfortunately, this is the reality of our business.
They race past the LA Times with the shopping cart.
Nathaniel, hard left coming up right here.
The two of them maneuver the cart up the winding ramps outside the Disney concert hall. The graceful stainless steel curves of the building glisten in the sunshine. They stop at the top of the ramp to catch their breath.
Slow busy, okay?
They are led into the large wooden-paneled Walt Disney concert hall. Nathaniel, wearing a sequined cape and a Hawaiian garland, sits next to Lopez in the massive auditorium, which is covered in protective sheeting. They both gawp in wonderment at the size of the hall. Excitedly, Nathaniel points at the conductor as he walks on stage. Sat with Lopez in the middle of the vast, empty auditorium, Nathaniel watches the stage transfixed as the conductor slowly lifts his baton. Lopez glances over at Nathaniel, who watches the orchestra with sheer delight. Nathaniel gently drums his fingers on his legs in time with the music. He slowly closes his dark brown eyes and the screen gradually fades to black. Vivid flashes of vibrant colours spread across the screen as if in time to the music. Whites, neon pinks, lime greens, and electric blues swirl and tumble across the black screen. Striking colors appear in time with each loud beat. Later, Lopez sits in a busy bar with Mary. They watch as their colleague drunkenly staggers up onto the stage and grabs the mic.
I'm telling you, it was such an unbelievable experience. The whole thing, the whole day. And if you had seen him, if you could have felt him, I mean, it's the same hall, we're listening to the same goddamn music, But no, you see him, it's one thing, but you feel him. I'm watching him, he's watching the music. And while they're playing, I say, my God, there is something higher out there. Something higher out there, and he lives in it, and he's with it. I've never even experienced it, but I can tell. I don't even know what you fucking call it. What? What is it?
Grace!
All right! That's Grace?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
They gaze lovingly at each other before an awkwardness creeps in.
To be there with him like that, to see the way that he is transported, he surrenders. Damn it, honey. I mean, I've never loved anything the way that he loves music.
Mary's face saddens.
Hey, come on. I'm thinking about my day. I'm thinking about my day. I wasn't thinking about you.
That I believe, honey. Well, the mayor's been trying to reach you.
Which mayor?
The mayor.
Okay.
She smiles sardonically at him and leaves. He watches her as she walks away.
Call the mayor.
Thank you.
Points West by Frank Sinatra. Every now and then in this city of innumerable wrongs, the powers that be get things right.
So I'm pleased to announce I am increasing the city's financial commitment to this area by $50 million.
Every now and then, the words I write do not leap straight from this page to the ether. Instead, every now and then, they reach the right reader at the right time. Every now and then, the hearts, minds, and wallets of the city's officials open simultaneously. And when that happens, every now and then, the city is a better place for it.
Steve?
Yeah?
Your boyfriend is downstairs.
He smiles sarcastically at her.
Thank you. It's funny.
Nathaniel drums on his shopping cart outside the LA Times.
Daniel? You all right?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You need something?
A man only needs what he can carry, Mr. Lopez, and I have all I can carry right here. I have my bedding, I have my drums, I have my flour,
okay.
I have
my
water pistol,
listen,
I have it all.
Listen, you can't hang out here.
I can't?
You can't hang out here. You can't. Sorry.
I don't mind that at all, Mr. Lopez. Not at all.
You understand, right? It's a thing. Policy.
Nathaniel frowns.
I'll be over here for me.
Over there? Okay. You all right?
Yeah, I just, you know, I can go.
Sorry, I gotta...
Lopez heads inside.
I completely understand you're working, isn't it? When you're working, you have to work. People have to work. You know, get out of the way. When people are working because you don't want to stand again in front of people, especially like Mr. Lopez. You stand in front of Mr. Lopez, he's going to tell you to get out of here. So, you gotta work.
I think he's good.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, I really do. I mean, I just, this is great. I think it'll really help. I feel like you are exactly what he needs.
Well, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Oh, Graham Clayton. Thank you.
At your service.
All we need is a place for them to meet and rehearse, like an apartment.
You're asking for an apartment for Nathaniel.
Yeah.
Does he want an apartment?
Thank you. Yes.
And he told you this.
Yes.
You so full of shit, Lopez.
I don't want an apartment.
Good, because it's not. It's actually a music studio for Mr. Clayton to give you the cello lessons.
Mr. Clayton, come down here. This is a perfect place to play in the tunnel.
No, Mr. Clayton doesn't like tunnels. He says it has to be quiet.
Well,
it has to be quiet for the cello lessons. So your apartment is...
It's not my apartment.
I know. The apartment that belongs to...
I don't have an apartment. I don't want to be in an apartment. I don't need an apartment.
Let's get off that point.
In the freshness of the air.
The apartment is not the point. It's an opportunity.
Angels, you can't...
Do you want the opportunity? Stop. Do you want an opportunity or not?
He clenches his lips together and walks away.
No. I have a house.
Stood in a Stars and Stripes top hat with half his face painted white, Nathaniel watches him dolefully.
So angry. Yelling. Doesn't make sense.
Lopez slouches to the floor and sits propped up against one of the concrete pillars in the tunnel. Nathaniel strides over to him. He sits down on the floor beside him.
Do you have a family?
What?
Are you a married man? Is there a Mrs. Steve Lopez?
No. I did marry, but we split up and we have a son, Thomas. He's in college now.
Mr. Steve Lopez, Mr. Thomas Steve Lopez, Mrs. Mary Steve Lopez?
Not Mrs. Lopez, Mary Weston.
Mrs. Mary Weston, Steve Lopez.
No, just Mary Weston, period. We were married. We're not anymore. Now she's just married.
You were married to Mary, but you're not married to Mary anymore.
Correct. Don't ask me how.
Mrs. Faria Ayers, Jennifer Ayers, and then there was Mr. Nathaniel Anthony Ayers Sr. He was a big man. He had big hands. I have very small hands. Fit around a violin and a cello. Mr. Ayers was a big man, but he wasn't a god. I have my god. Mr. Steve Lopez.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're my god. Flying around high. You're my
I'm
god.
Not comfortable.
Steve
being
Lopez.
Your god.
Steph Ryder, you are my god.
I'm your god.
You're my god.
All right. I am your god. And as your god, I command you to be at Lamb 2 p.m. 1 week from today for a cello lesson. Done deal.
Lopez gets up and walks away.
And it's a really sweet deal, too, because if you show up, I will grant you eternal life. Hell, I might even make you a disciple. If you don't, you're on your own.
In a flashback, Nathaniel anxiously paces up and down in his student apartment, with the voices echoing through his head.
Nathaniel. You've always been here, Nathaniel. I've always loved you, Nathaniel. I'll never leave you, Nathaniel. I love you, Nathaniel. No one else loves you, Nathaniel. But I love you, Nathaniel. I'll protect you, Nathaniel.
You fell from heaven. I love you, Nathaniel.
You're my heart, Nathaniel. We'll be together forever, Nathaniel.
I'll protect you.
I'll be here to protect you from the pain.
I'll be here to protect you.
He lies curled up on the floor, sobbing. With his face still half painted white, Nathaniel and Lopez ride in an elevator with the shopping cart.
Come on. Hey! Hear that?
He points to a no smoking sign.
You'll see those on the street, quick, right? And then right again, right here, Nathaniel. Come on down. What are you? Come on, we go down here and then to the end and left.
I think we should do the lesson out here.
No, it's just this way. Come on.
Mr. Lopez, I really think we should do it out here.
No, come on. Let's have a look. It's right down here.
Mr. Lopez.
Nathaniel, come on. It's really clean.
Nathaniel stays in the corridor.
Come check it out.
We should do it out here. It's better.
He fidgets uneasily.
Looks nice.
Lopez looks around the apartment at three pieces of plastic white furniture and a bed.
It's nice.
He wanders through the tiny, dingy bedsit room and into the bathroom. He inspects its fixtures and fittings and draws the shower curtain with a look of satisfaction.
Come on, you can do it.
He closes his eyes and waits. As he spots Nathaniel through the window, he sees out of the corner of his eye a cigarette butt lying on the bedside table. He leaps across the bed to grab it. Nathaniel cautiously walks inside. He looks uneasily at Lopez and then goes to get his shopping cart.
I'll give you a hand with that.
He quickly hides the cigarette butt in his top pocket and goes to help.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Nice. Yes. It's great, right? I mean, I like it. What do you think? It's nice, it's clean, the bathroom's better.
Nathaniel picks a dead fly off the bed.
Except for him.
I don't want to die in here.
Don't.
Somebody could just come in here and kill me.
Nathaniel?
And take all of my belongings.
Nathaniel, the door locks.
If I only live 12 days, what if in 12 days someone walks through that door and murders me? And I don't care about this Clayton thing either. Walt Disney Hall, Disney Duck. It doesn't make a difference. I don't need any of that. If I'm going to take a lesson, I should take the lesson in the tunnel where I can hear the city sounds. Mm-hmm. And not be locked off from life, locked off from the world. In the tunnel, I can hear the music the way it's supposed to be played. Not in this place. There's no city sounds. There's no Beethoven. There's no Los Angeles, California. I don't belong here. I'm never coming here again.
Lopez slips out of the door unnoticed and scurries past the window. He arrives back with Graham Clayton and they stand watching Nathaniel as he plays his cello, which now has a large purple bra tied around its body.
Nathaniel, that's Graham Clayton. Pleased to meet you, Nathaniel. I always love meeting a fellow musician. I brought you something. I know you're partial to Beethoven, so I thought you'd enjoy this. Because, you know, without Johann Sebastian, there would be no Ludwig van.
He holds up a score of music written by Bach. Nathaniel smiles and the two men start their lesson, which Lopez films on a video camera.
Someone who hasn't had a lesson in 3 decades, you play quite beautifully.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Work on a smoother rhythm for the right hand, and don't stop, start. Carry a phrase all the way through.
Great.
Give you right a bell.
Thank you.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Sir. Do you think I can be good again?
Yes, I do.
Nathaniel grins childishly.
I like your apartment, by the way.
It's not my apartment.
It's not. It's just...
I don't live here.
Well, you should. God has blessed you with a gift, Nathaniel. Nothing pains God more than when we squander his blessings. You owe it to him to...
I don't care, oh, God. Mr. Steve Lopez is my God.
What?
Sky writer for Los Angeles. Higher power flying around the wings like an angel. Mr. Steve Lopez is my mic! Scratch!
Mr. Graham Clayton is going to tell me who my God is?
Down by the current.
Do you know who my God is, Mr. Clayton? I know who my God is.
He's a good teacher.
I know who my God is.
Graceful
is the ballerinas at Juilliard. Who are those girls with Grace?
Tiny ballerinas twirling around. Twirling around. Angels.
Graceful's little ballerinas.
I love them flying around like I love Mr. Steve Lopez flying around. I love God. I love you.
Nathaniel looks up at him with tears welling up in his eyes. Unflinching, Lopez stares back. In the office at LAMP.
I don't want him to love me.
Well, it looked like you might have to get over that.
It's a bad idea. I love you, Steve, turns into you failed me, Steve, turns into very bad things. That's my limited experience. I don't want to be on the other side of that with him, would you? He doesn't know if I'm a ballerina, if I'm God, if I'm an airplane pilot. He has no idea what he's saying.
Is there something you want from me, Lopez? Or you just come to show me your prom dress and you look nice?
I want you to help him. Because he's sick and he needs medication and you have a team of doctors here, tell him to sit down with him. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Nathaniel's made it quite clear he's not ready to speak to a psychiatrist.
Force him.
Force him.
Tell him to do it. Tell him he can't play his instruments until he sits down with a shrink.
That's not what we do here.
What you do here is fucked.
The two men glare at each other.
It is.
Look, even if I did want to coerce Nathaniel into the psychiatrist...
Coerce.
Which... Whatever, if I wanted to do that, which I don't, I couldn't force him to take medication. The law's the law, unless he's in imminent danger to himself or someone else. Are you going to answer that or what?
He gets his mobile out of his smart tux jacket.
I'm in the car. What if he was a danger to someone else?
But he's not.
Mary, I'm on the way. Relax. What if someone said he was? What if someone dialed 911, say Nathaniel had attacked him, they put him in a psychiatric hospital?
I know you're not thinking about
wouldn't
911,
Lopez. And then he would be in a 14-day psychiatric hold, they put him on meds. Straight away.
What if that's all it took for him to be well? What if 2 weeks of meds, a two-week window into what his life could be, changed his life, saved his life? Why wouldn't you want to be part of that?
Steve, Nathaniel has one thing going for him right now, a friend. If you betray that friendship, you destroy the only thing he has in this world.
I don't want to be his only thing.
He flashes a sarcastic smile at David, who rolls his eyes.
Didn't you just tell somebody you was in your car?
Lopez runs towards the front of an elegant building.
Mary, relax. What table are we at?
This is Nathaniel Anthony Ayers Jr. Mr. Lopez, I want
Nathaniel, to call. Because you promised me a hard case for my cello and I haven't received it yet.
Yeah.
And also, I need sheet music.
Hey.
And also Opus 131 for septets and strings and woodwinds and Opus 20 and...
Yes. One second. So we're talking about
A string replaced.
Nathaniel,
you know, this is not...
in changing the city. The series in the Times on the struggles and the triumphs of Nathaniel Anthony Ayers.
Lopez creeps through the tables of guests and sits down next to Mary.
The story's absolutely resolved. He addresses the problem of compassion and commitment. And in honor of this, it is my pleasure to present this year's media award to Steve Lopez.
She takes the phone off him and continues to listen as he collects the award. Sat with the other guests at their table.
I got a phone call from Mark Rosenthal today. Remember him?
Oh.
Book editor.
Bob Geldof with a crew cut.
He's been reading your Nathaniel stuff. Thinks he's genius. Whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway, he said it's a book.
What are you saying? What's that?
It's personal. It's political. It's timely. I could sell the shit out of it.
Oh, boy.
His words, excuse me, not mine.
Well, it's complicated. Nathaniel's complicated.
Well, yeah, he's mentally ill. I mean.
Right, but beyond that, it's endless.
Oh.
I don't want to take full responsibility.
Oh, by all means, avoid full responsibility. Just, you know, keep going with the partial responsibility and exploiting him like you are now.
You should
that's
stop.
A slippery slope right there, Lopez. One day
Mary,
you're getting a book from the
stop.
Guy, and the next he's expecting,
Mary,
I don't know,
stop.
Some sort of consistency in the relationship. Screw that, man. Who needs that shit, right? My words.
You driving?
No, I have a car.
And a driver?
Oh, it's Nathaniel for you.
Nathaniel's words spin around Lopez's head.
Mentally ill because of the underlying cigarette habit, constant disturbance. The bigots have children too. Pins for Steve Lopez, many things.
Constant disturbance.
Bigots have children too. Pins. Paper.
Pins from Steve Lopez, many things.
And the cello from Steve Lopez, many things in that. Without Steve Lopez, I wouldn't have any of that. So it's her habits, constant disturbance.
I've had what I think is a beautiful idea. I think Nathaniel should give a recital.
I don't know if I can make that call. He hasn't been very lucid lately.
Right, but when is he clearest? When is he most able to focus his thoughts?
When he's playing.
Right.
This could increase his confidence 1,000-fold. It could be transformative.
How can we not give him that, Steve?
God bless you, Steve.
Sure he does.
Lopez takes his seat amongst the expectant audience in a small studio auditorium at Walt Disney Hall. Dressed in his eclectic street clothes, Nathaniel stands backstage next to his shopping cart.
My first concert, I was so nervous, I vomited. All down my tuxedo. It was so embarrassing. Want to know how I got over those jitters, Nathaniel? I pray. Should we pray together, you and I?
Nathaniel looks uneasy.
Heavenly Father, shine your light on Brother Nathaniel that he may speak with your voice tonight.
Nathaniel ambles out in front of the audience, pulling his shopping cart behind him. He looks at the two chairs set out for him. He picks the one furthest away and sits down. He gets up and moves to the other seat. Watching the audience, he sets up his cello. He stares at the audience and starts to shake.
My voice is all there is.
Everything's fine.
Follow my voice, but the angels have latitudes, Nathaniel. When you fell from heaven,
Nathaniel Ayers.
A flashback to the family home in Cleveland, where Nathaniel's sister Jennifer walks to the top of the basement steps carrying a tray of food.
Nathaniel? I got some soup here for you.
Nervously, she heads down into the dark basement. She looks around the dimly lit, untidy room and walks across to Nathaniel's empty and unmade bed.
Nathaniel?
He appears from the dark.
You think I'm stupid, is that what you think?
No.
No, I can't see everything. I see everything.
And swing you.
I know who you are. I know what you're doing.
Dogs biting at your feet, Nathaniel.
I thought you might be hungry.
You to walk dusty everywhere. You were made to dust.
Nathaniel. That's hydrochloric acid. If I eat that, you'll wind me up inside and kill me.
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel,
I wouldn't do that.
Nathaniel. Nathaniel.
He force feeds her the soup.
Dust.
Nathaniel. Okay.
Back in the concert hall, Graham Clayton puts his hand on Nathaniel's shoulder. Nathaniel threatens Clayton with a piece of wood covered in nails. Noticing the audience gawping at him, he runs from the theatre.
Nathaniel!
Lopez grabs the cello and case and runs after him. Lopez drives through the tunnel, scouring the sidewalk for Nathaniel. In a flashback, Jennifer drives through the streets looking for Nathaniel. She spots him hurriedly walking through the snow, carrying his cello.
Hi, Nathaniel. It's freezing out here. Don't you want to come home?
Can't go back there. It's not safe.
Come on home, Nathaniel.
He scurries off into the freezing night. In the plaza, Lopez stands in the dark, looking up at the statue of Beethoven, whose expression appears to be scowling down at him.
David, sorry, it's, Steve, listen. Can you call me back when you have a second? There was an incident with Nathaniel tonight. I'm a little worried. Anyway, call back when you have a sec.
He watches solemnly as two policemen arrest a rough sleeper from the plaza. Lopez strides through the mass of homeless people on Skid Row, being rounded up and manhandled into handcuffs by police.
This man, I claim my right to those possessions! Show me.
Nathaniel!
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 What?
Where's Nathaniel?
I don't know, I haven't seen him.
Hey! Is it Daryl? Hey, stay back. Who the hell are you?
Hey,
LA Times.
Hey, man.
That's the last
get
guy you should be arrested.
Come on,
Skid Row cleanup, sir. Let's go.
Come on,
this man's an illegal possession of a shopping cart and a milk crate.
You're gonna arrest him for possession
Steve,
of a milk crate?
Steve.
That's correct, sir.
Come on.
He races through the chaos towards a group of people stood behind police tape. An officer stands guard over a pool of blood covering the floor of the doorway where Nathaniel usually sleeps.
Officer, what happened?
A couple of kids came out here with some baseball bats, beat the shit out of this poor guy.
Get a name?
Negative, sir.
Lopez hurries into the bustling emergency room and frantically scours the waiting room.
May I make an inquiry about it? Excuse me. This way?
What? Yeah, down here.
It's usually on the screen. I'm sorry, it's usually on the screen. Excuse me, ma'am. Recent ER admits name Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. Thank you, by the way.
The nurse checks her records.
No.
At another hospital.
Hi, thank you. I'm looking for a recent admission.
I'm hoping you have a recent admission of a man named Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S.
I know, Contreras was the reporting officer. He was the officer on site. It's not the...
Mr. Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S, Nathaniel Anthony Ayers, 5'10", African-American.
Hi, it's me again. It's going to be a long shift. What's your name?
N-A-T-H-A-N-I-E-L-A.
I do words for a living. It doesn't matter. Whoever has two stripes on their arm or more.
Ayers. A-Y-E-R-S. N-A-T-H-A-N-I-E-L-A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-A-Y-E-R-S.
No. Do not put me on hold again. A-Y-E-R-S.
He rests against the window and looks out into the darkness. Back in his apartment, Lopez lies on the sofa staring out at the city. He is pale and exhausted and still wearing last night's clothes.
Lopez.
Steve, David, I got your message. What's up?
There's a beating a homeless man at Winston Street. They're right in Nathaniel's spot.
It wasn't him.
What, how do you know?
Because he's here. Eating a crazy big breakfast. I guess sleeping inside can give a man an appetite.
Huh.
He spent last night in the apartment. He came inside.
He stares blankly into space and then hangs up the phone. Lopez arrives at the apartment with Nathaniel's cello and slips it through a jar in the door. Nathaniel takes it and eagerly opens the case, and Lopez lets himself in.
Hi. You good?
I literally looked everywhere else in Los Angeles but here. Not that I was worried. What happened? What made you decide to sleep in here?
Well, a body can only take so much, Mr. Lopez. I mean, I'm not young anymore. I'm a middle-aged man. You know how it is.
Sure. Housewarming gift.
He unwraps a small ceramic bust of Beethoven.
I've done good by you, haven't I? I mean, things aren't so bad, right? Say, things are set for Jennifer to become your executor.
I can't believe Beethoven himself is in my own apartment.
You still okay with that? Having Jennifer handle things for you?
It's all right with me. It's all right with Beethoven.
Well, you guys let me know. Because there's papers you got to sign. I just got back from them. You should read them so you know what you're signing.
Yeah, I'll just sign them in the day. Anthony Harris Jr., apartment okay. B116, and the B stands for...
He points at the bust of Beethoven.
Read him, sign him.
Right.
Okay. Right. What do you... You got anything to drink?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lopez. Absolutely, Mr. Lopez. Help yourself to some water. It's where the dripping sound is coming from.
At your leisure.
He leaves the paperwork next to Nathaniel and wanders into the bathroom.
Is there a...
Inside the bathroom cabinet is a picture of Neil Diamond.
What's with Neil Diamond?
I thought that was you.
Well, I'm flattered. He's a good-looking guy.
Nathaniel stands enraged as the paperwork tumbles through the air.
What's wrong?
He glares at Lopez.
What's this business about me having a schizophrenic mind?
It's legal jargon.
It says that I have a schizophrenic mind. I do not.
It doesn't mean anything.
Schizophrenic mind.
That's not what I think. Nathaniel, they try to put people in a...
I'm not going anywhere.
And the good news is it has nothing to do with...
I don't go where you say go. I go where I want to go. Okay. You don't put me away, Mr. Lopez. You don't put me away.
Okay.
You don't put me away.
I'm not...
Yes, you are.
No, no, no.
Yes, you are.
Don't have to go
yes, you
to
are.
Court. You don't have to go anywhere. Jennifer will take care of you.
My sister's not coming near me. She's not coming near me. She's not coming near me. She says she's not coming. She's not coming. She's not coming.
You said, Nathaniel. You said...
Nathaniel, I don't have any more. Nathaniel, I'm sick of being Nathaniel, and you're Mr. Lopez. Okay, I'm not just lame. I'm not your boy. I'm not Mr. Carl Sanders.
No, I'm sorry, I was
wrong. I'm not Mr. Walt Disney.
I'm sorry, I was
wrong. I'm a man. I can take care of myself. Take care of myself, Mr. Lopez. Yeah. I don't need you. I don't need the city. I despise the city, and I despise you.
He stamps his foot on Lopez's back, pinning him to the floor.
If I ever see you again, I'll cut you over. And gut you like a fish.
He lifts his foot and Lopez scurries out.
Because I'm Nathaniel Anthony Harris Jr. Mr. All right. Mr.
He puts his head in his hand and rocks back and forth.
You're of no consequence.
Lopez sits in a dark, windowless bar, downing shots lined up in front of him. After each drink, he sucks on a lime. He looks over at the barmaid and smiles.
Hey.
The door opens and a shaft of light pours in, and a man in a cowboy hat walks to the bar. Lopez puts his hands together, rests them on his lips, and sits in quiet contemplation. Mary wanders down into her lounge in her pajamas and a woolen cardi.
So that was my first mistake.
She looks affectionately across at Lopez slouching on the sofa and wanders over to him.
Northridge Quake 94, remember?
I smelled the toast.
I've been here 2 days. All our crap still in boxes. And at 4 a.m. it hit. God, that terror. You, me, and Thomas, what was he, 9?
Mm-hmm.
All huddled under that bedroom door frame. I told him it was a good omen. Welcoming us to our new life. Better life. In LA.
His eyes begin to well with tears. With a heavy heart, he reaches out and gently takes her hand and strokes it tenderly as he gazes at her.
I should have had us on the first flight back to Philly.
Crestfallen, he chokes back his tears and looks sorrowfully at Mary.
I thought I was helping someone. There's a guy, he's got a gift. He's lost his way. I'm gonna... Inevitably, backfired. It's a backlash to the... And the very person I was trying to be of some redeeming service to turns on me. I'm the enemy. A stranger. And I don't know who to fault. I can't see any outcome to support. A belief in anything worthwhile. Done trying. I resign. I resign from everything.
It's official.
You couldn't stop that earthquake. You can't fix LA. You're never gonna cure Nathaniel. Just be his friend and show up.
She reaches out and lovingly strokes his face. He snatches his hand out of hers and leaves, leaving the keys to the house on the table. An aerial view of the countryside surrounding Los Angeles, moving into rows of tiny houses with glistening turquoise pools in the back gardens. Cars the size of ants speed through the streets. Jennifer looks out of the window of a plane. She bites her lip and fiddles nervously with a scarf around her neck. Her plane gently touches down on the runway at Los Angeles Airport. Lopez drives her through the squalor of Skid Row. She looks out at the homeless people meandering through the streets. They pull up outside the concrete gates of LAMP. Jennifer anxiously walks into the front yard. She looks around at the mentally ill people sat in the sunshine and spots Nathaniel sat alone on the steps, talking to himself. She smiles softly and slowly walks towards him. Tentatively, she sits down beside him. He quickly glances at her. She goes to speak, but stops herself. Sat in his car, Lopez watches through a gap in the front gate as the two of them sit in silence. Nathaniel chews the inside of his lip.
We had some life, didn't we?
He places his hand on the step beside Jennifer. She gently lays her hand on top and entwines her fingers in his. Lopez sits propped up against the gates of LAMP amongst the street sleepers and litter. He twirls his keys in his hands and stares pensively at them as they spin. Nathaniel walks out with Jennifer and stands in front of him. They lock each other's gaze and Lopez gets to his feet.
Beethoven's Triple Concerto, right? It's a good one. I like it. Mr. Ayers, I'm going to give your sister a ride to the hotel.
You don't have to call me that, Mr. Lopez.
I know. I want to. I should have been calling you that all along.
I said such terrible things to you, Mr. Lopez, and I hate myself for saying those things.
Sometimes friends piss each other off, right? It's part of the deal.
I couldn't imagine that you would want to be my friend after I said all those things.
Mr. Ayers, I'm honored to be your friend.
He offers Nathaniel his hand and smiles. Nathaniel looks deep into his eyes and the pair shake hands. Nathaniel, Jennifer, Mary, and Lopez sit in the full auditorium of the Walt Disney Concert Hall watching the orchestra on stage.
Points West by Steve Lopez. A year ago, I met a man who was down on his luck and thought I might be able to help him. I don't know that I have. Yes, my friend Mr. Ayers now sleeps inside. He has a key. He has a bed. But his mental state and his well-being are as precarious now as they were the day we met. There are people who tell me I've helped him. Mental health experts who say that the simple act of being someone's friend can change his brain chemistry, improve his functioning in the world. I can't speak for Mr. Ayers in that regard. Maybe our friendship has helped him, but maybe not. I can, however, speak for myself. I can tell you that by witnessing Mr. Ayers' courage, his humility, his faith in the power of his art, I've learned the dignity of being loyal to something you believe in, of holding on to it. Above all else, of believing, without question, that it will carry you home.
Sat amongst the smartly dressed audience in his high-visibility jacket, mismatched eclectic street clothes, and a tattered and dirty sailor's hat, Nathaniel watches, enthralled by the music. White writing appears across the black screen. It reads, Mr. Ayers still sleeps inside and is a member of LAMP. He continues to play the cello, as well as the violin, bass, piano, guitar, trumpet, French horn, drums, and harmonica. Mr. Lopez continues to write his column for the LA Times. He is learning to play the guitar. There are 90,000 homeless people on the streets of Greater Los Angeles. In slow motion, the members of LAMP dance joyously at a party at the center. Lopez and Mary dance together, giggling happily. Nathaniel and Lopez laugh as they hold each other close and dance together. The end. The Soloist was based on a book by Steve Lopez.